Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This week, we feature Family Promise of the Capital Region. We are joined by Executive Director of Family Promise, Mary Giordano, and Chaplain of the Shrine Church of Our Lady of the Americas, Father Frank O'Connor. Father O'Connor founded Family Promise of the Capital Region and is currently Vice President and the Board of Directors. And again, Mary is the Executive Director, and it is a delight to welcome you both to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. We note that Family Promise of the Capital Region works with homeless families as well as engaging our community and helping them achieve what you refer to as sustainable independence. Father, you started this many years ago?
Not so long ago. Four years, I think it is now.
And what was the impetus? What got you to that place?
Well, I've had an interest in homelessness. I've thought that it's very integral to my faith to be concerned about people without a home. And so I read an article in the America magazine, which is a Jesuit publication.
Yes.
And it talked about family promise, especially this professor from Assumption College in Worcester, Mass., talked about coming home from an overnight stint at Family Promise. And so it occurred to me that this was a wonderful way to get volunteers to work with the homeless.
So when you talk about the day-to-day mission, how do you go about doing what you do?
Well, the program truly does rely on volunteers, as Father said, and it's very unique in how it's designed. There are actually 200 Family Promise affiliates across the country, but really very new to this area, never been done here before. And I guess in a way it was like falling into place. It was like a great experiment to bring all these faith communities together who shelter homeless families right in the places where they worship. For example, a congregation may have a place where they worship, but they also have a building that's attached to it.
Right.
We take those rooms, we repurpose them, and we make them very nice for families to stay for an entire week. And there, the congregants of the church, who are trained volunteers, serve them meals, plan activities for the kids, help them with their homework, visit with the parents. And then early in the morning, the families come back to our day center, which is located on New Scotland Avenue in Albany. And that's where the families shower, do their laundry. That's where the kids go to school, so that regardless of which congregation is hosting them for the week, they have a place that's central and doesn't change. And to get the families connected to the community leads to jobs, leads to health care, leads to all these things that actually are far more important to get into place before we try to the big thing, which is to secure affordable housing, which can be very hard to find.
And the interfaith aspect of this is very important, isn't it, Father?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We're involved with a lot of Protestant churches at the present and a Jewish synagogue. And we also have a Muslim, a gentleman I've known for a long time. I'm talking to him about becoming a member of our board, and he shows a great interest. I met him at Albany Med years ago when he was a nurse in the E-wing at Albany Med. Very kind, good man. So we're friends, he and I.
And we're all in this together, aren't we?
Oh, we are.
Yeah. So yeah. Talk about the working in a community like this in a city and I ask this question to both of you, but I'll begin with Father, of how you look to address the problems, identify the problems, address the problems, and then see that people are cared for.
Well, as Mary reminds me, and as I think often, families are the fastest growing segment of the homeless population in our country. In our area, as I understand it, there are 600 homeless families, and so the needs of the families are intensive, and so they need to be addressed. And we have people who are very willing to help. So we put that all together in this organization, and it's been very rewarding for us, and of course for them.
More than, you know,
but it's a mutual experience. We both are helped by it.
I think one of the things that the congregations can do that's also unique is we have no requirement for the families in terms of paperwork or anything to prove that they're homeless. We take all families that need our help if they're willing to live in community and they need help. So we're not a contracted shelter in any way. So if a family gets denied, let's say, placement in a shelter from, you know, the Department of Social Services, perhaps they cannot prove job loss, they cannot prove eviction, they can't prove that they really have no place to go, or maybe they're afraid to go. Maybe they're afraid they'll go down there and something will be found out and something will happen with their kids. I mean, we try to keep these families in our program to make sure that they stay together, that they stay with their children, stay with their parents, that they're helped, and really get them through the rough parts in their life until we can help them secure affordable housing.
When you think of that, of affording affordable housing, what are the challenges in that? And because that's an ongoing challenge.
Oh, it is. I mean, if you were to look in on a Craigslist or any of the places that, you know, might advertise apartments, you might find a two-bedroom perhaps in Albany for $800 or $900. But if you have a low-income job and you're trying to pay for everything for your children and to get ahead, that's not going to happen. That is, you know, so you have to definitely be very creative. Occasionally, we are able to connect with the Legal Aid Society for some of the rapid rehousing grants that the parents qualify. Sometimes there are supportive housing programs that are available through other agencies such as HADIS. So we try very, very hard to make sure we're always partnering with other organizations to help us secure that affordable housing. But it's definitely an uphill climb. And I think it's something that's a widespread problem in the area.
The idea, you mentioned this, and I wasn't aware of this coming into this discussion, which is that Family Promise operates all across the country. So how do you have dialogue with other chapters and what they do?
Well, what we do with the other chapters is really, if I have a problem and I'm not sure exactly, you know, how to solve it, I might contact a director in another part of the country that I've been told has had a similar experience. The headquarters for the national organization is in New Jersey, and they come up to Albany once a year or so and check out our day center and ask if there's anything they can do. But we're all separate 501c3s. Our particular affiliate does not accept any government funding at all. And that gives us a lot of autonomy to help many different families. We're not held back for, you know, any reason to serve a family that is homeless.
That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Well,
I mean, right?
I mean,
it does, like, you, I get it, and yet...
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. But,
yeah.
You know, I think for us, even the families that we serve and do find affordable housing and they're able to get on their own, let's say in 3 or 4 months, we stay connected with them forever. We thought it would be for a full year in their apartments, but frankly, every family that we've worked with that stayed connected to us, we've stayed connected to them to make sure they have their diapers that they need, to make sure that they have the clothes, that they're able to find a summer camp, you know, that their kids can go to. We're able to network very well for them and to make sure they never slip into homelessness again. And as of now, that has not happened. So we're able to keep them on their feet and keep them going and always be there for them and keep them connected to the community and to all these wonderful volunteers that have been a part of their life. You know, when they stay, for example, at a congregation, whether it be Mater Christi in Albany or whether it be Del Mar Reformed in Del Mar or Del Mar Presbyterian or Congregations Schenectady like the Unitarian Church, all these different congregations have folks that are there who are serving them that connect with these families. For example, St. Sophia Greek Orthodox Church hosted our families. They were invited them to the Greek Festival. So many of our graduated families were able to go and meet with the volunteers that had been there because they actually were their temporary home for a week when they were homeless and part of this network. I mean, the network continues week by week by week by week because we have 13 congregations that do this. So think of all these people that these families are meeting to help them in their time of need. It's really quite beautiful.
There are so many byproducts of this process, like this ecumenical interfaith relationship develops through this. And, well, I'm running out of words right now, so.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So let's get all Catholic on him, Father. Let's talk about the fact that I mean those of us who whatever our what's whatever our religious affiliation may be, but those of us who are steeped in a religion of the understanding or the necessity or the obligation, and that's the word I'm looking for, the obligation that we have of helping other people.
Yeah. Well, you know, this I don't know if this is going down the same avenue you were going, but the church, since the Council of Trent, had been very much, we had what we call the Counter-Reformation, and it was that Catholics can be saved, we don't know about everybody else. But now there's a great shift, and we're beginning to really look at what's worthwhile in all of these other faiths. And we find so many things that correspond to our beliefs, our values, and it's a learning for us, and I hope for the people we come to know. It's a learning that there's so many values and so many good things about the other faiths that it's a new chapter in our lives, a new chapter in the life of the church, really.
Well, that is exactly the path I was going down, and I thank you for that. You can find out more information about Family Promise by going to familypromiseofthecapitalregion.org, familypromiseofthecapitalregion.org. Father O'Connor and Mary Giordano, I thank you very much for spending time with us this
thank
morning.
You.
A great
well,
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Again, familypromiseofthecapitalregion.org, falling into place, is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.